Anyway, thanks for joining us here today. And kids, if you have kids, I bet one of the questions they ask you often is, why do I have to go to school? Well, that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. Why School, which is the name of my guest book, Why School, Reclaiming Education for All of Us. Mike Rose has written this excellent little book, which is really kind of everything you need to know. And we'll bring up some questions to you and to other people and some questions that really need to be answered, because education is something we talk about often. It's certainly in the public sphere of discussion with No Child Left Behind, then Race to the Top, now Common Core. And if you have kids in school, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we're going to talk about some of those big issues today and some of the better, smaller issues and why education is important, which I think it is. And maybe Mike Rose feels the same way. And I want to welcome Mike Rose to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
Hey, I'm fine, and thank you for that lead-in. That was perfect.
Oh, well, your book is kind of perfect, too. This is an excellent little book. It really is very good. You've done a great job with it, and you're an educator. You've been an educator for 40 years. You're at UCLA. You are a researcher. You know everything about education, and it's something that we talk about often. Do you feel, we turn on the TV or radio, and we often hear, we are falling behind in education. Do you believe that?
Well, it is such a complex question, and I think one of the things that really bothers me, Shannon, is when you do hear those little soundbite kinds of statements, we're failing, our schools are failing,
right.
We're falling behind. It's a more complicated story. We don't do a very good job with a lot of poor kids, for example. We know that, the huge achievement gap, and that's all true. But when you really look across the country, there are so many centers of excellence. And I'm talking about public schools, not just Tony private schools, but so many places where teachers are working hard, kids are doing well. Our scores in those districts, in those areas, would match, you know, the international scores. Mm-hmm. So it's a much more complicated story than the one we tend to get in the media.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we are doing a better job than we seem to get the press for, because the story is always we need to do better and keep up with other countries. I don't think we're doing as bad as we would led to believe. And of course, there's always room to do more. These new standards, that, you know, starting with No Child Left Behind, then going to Race to the Top, and now Common Core, you know, there's so many good things about them and so many bad things. And Common Core, so far, I have not heard many good things about it. For people listening that have kids, what about something like Common Core? Do we have to have all this testing? Do we have to have all these regulations?
Oh my gosh, you know, we are the most tested country in the industrialized world. And that's why, actually, you touched on something important there. That's why around the country we see groups of parents who are opting out of testing. They're saying, you know, we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Common Core is the latest. I mean, gosh, imagine, Shannon, if you're a teacher, like every 5 or 6 years, the new buzz bomb comes flying over your head, and this is the new one. And you folks just had experience with it in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last year with this first round of testing.
Absolutely.
The original idea behind Common Core, I think, is a worthwhile one. It basically suggests that what we need to do is try and provide a kind of liberal studies, a kind of liberal arts curriculum across the board for all kids. And, of course, thinking about how you would scale that up or down depending on the grade level. So the emphasis, as opposed to some of what happened under No Child Left Behind, the emphasis was going to be on, you know, more complex kind of reading and writing tasks and more engagement with mathematics and more work on trying to solve problems. That's all to the good, and that got a lot of people excited, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger, and everybody saw this coming, is what you folks experienced in New York, and that is that the standards are, as we do these days, the standards are going to be tied to these standardized tests. And the danger is that people are going to roll those tests out too fast. They weren't going to give adequate time for teachers to adopt to these new standards, or for kids, for
yeah.
that fact.
Well, that's it. That's the kids.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what happens then, you get this mad rush toward assessment. The assessment can't possibly honor or match what the Common Core standards are trying to do. We just don't have that kind of technology, no matter what people tell you. And so, boom, they roll out these inadequate tests. They give them to kids. And then you get the kind of results you get in New York, where something like 30% of the children who took the tests were deemed adequate. I mean, this is madness, and we're the testing tail is kind of wagging the dog of our right. better thinking about curriculum.
Yeah, well said. I mean, that's part of the problem for any parent that's listening. I mean, you know, they throw this in there and they kind of forget the kids. It's about the teachers. It's about administration. And wait a minute, hello, we're down here. You know, we're your little test subjects down here, and they're the ones that it hurts. And obviously, it's supposed to help. You mentioned about the poor. You know, those that are in lower economic circumstances, and you have a chapter in the book, The Inner Life of the Poor. And, you know, I've always wanted to say that just because you're poor doesn't mean you can't have good study habits. Why do they have to go hand in hand? Years ago, people were poor and parents would sit them down and say, a good way out of this is a good education. You know, pay attention. Why do we feel now that being poor equals not having a good education when you're sitting next to a kid that could do very well and they would say, well, they're not poor? Why do they seem to go hand in hand?
Well, you know, this gets back to something we talked about just a few minutes ago, and that's this kind of singular representation, this kind of one brushstroke representation of poor people, and something I guess I try to argue in essays like the Inner Life of the Poor is, my gosh, folks at the bottom of the income ladder are as different and varied and unique as any other group of people. So, you know, if you get a room of 100 poor kids, you're going to have some kids who are super scholars. You're going to have some kids who are just diligently trying their best. You're going to have some kids, because poverty is no joke and it brings with it big problems, you're going to have some kids who are malnourished. You're going to have some kids who come from tough circumstances. You're going to have kids who need eyeglasses,
right,
for God's sake. So there's a range of both.
Right. There's more challenges, but each child deserves, especially in the younger years, they're all the same as far as kids go, regardless, and they each deserve that same education. Does it come back to the home life, do you think?
Well, that's a piece of it, of course, but again, we can't lay everything at the feet of poor parents. I come from, actually, a very poor background. Mm-hmm. I'm the first in my family to graduate from college. In fact, I'm about the third to graduate from high school.
Mm.
So I can tell you my mother and father desperately wanted me to do well, but my father had no education at all. My mother had to quit school in the seventh grade to take care of her brothers and sisters. So it was really limited help that they could provide for me. You know, I mean, when it got to algebra, forget it.
Of course, right.
And my gosh, we were beset by illness. We were, you know, we had to move because we couldn't afford the rent. Our furniture was repossessed. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that happens to poor kids that, you know, to put it frankly, make it hard to concentrate
right.
on school.
Life is chaotic, and school is secondary to survival. I mean, look, survival
That's
is always necessary and first in any situation.
That's right.
But certainly school, you know, one of the things that you just mentioned is that you have a background that wasn't silver spoon in your mouth, and yet you rose up through education. Do you believe that is still possible in this world, in our country, the way it is today?
It is always possible. What's troubling, and people on both the right and the left of the political spectrum admit this, when we look at all the economic statistics, and you know this, Shannon, you see it in the papers all the time, that inequality in the United States is growing. So that the rich are getting richer, but the poor are either stagnating or getting poorer. So there's more of a gap than there has been in recent history, and that affects people.
That does, and that's not just a headline. That is really the truth. We just don't have as many middle-income jobs as we used to.
That's right.
That's really what that comes down to. It's not that people don't want to work or want to be poor, and this affects school, but of course having an education really does make a difference. And what do we need good teachers. If you were starting out now to be a teacher, would you do it differently than you've done it?
Well, gosh, I hope I'd be still ready to learn new things, right?
Right.
I came into teaching in a funny kind of way. I started out working in a war on poverty program that was called Teacher Corps. And that program put us into high poverty schools with a really wonderful team and an experienced teacher. And we worked in K-12 schools. And then from there, I went on and taught in a program for returning Vietnam veterans. So I really had a very fortunate kind of teacher training, if you will. I spent years working in a lot of different programs that were quite challenging, but also super rewarding and taught me so, so much. I think that one thing that good teacher education programs do today that's a somewhat parallel to that is that they get folks out into schools quickly in some way or another, right?
Mm-hmm.
That people are in schools, they have coursework, they have seminars, they have people from the school, from the teacher education program that are looking out after them, that are visiting the school site. But in some way or another, there's that blend of, you know, book learning and school learning and work actually in the schools, where you get to experience what it's like to educate young people, and you get to be able to reflect on that with people who know a lot more than you do.
I think that it's a wonderful thing that we're doing. I think that, you know, especially after reading your book, and everybody should get this book, Why School: Reclaiming Education for All of Us, Mike Rose. I think that after reading this book, I understand how important education is and how it's not as bad as everyone thinks. You know, we only have a few seconds left, but one of the things I want to mention, you talk about MOOC, which are those massive courses like Coursera and online things. I mean, there's so many different ways to be educated now that no one really has to be undereducated, that education can take us places. The world is changing. We need to change with it. And I think your book really helps bring out this and also gets back to the basics. You have an awful lot to say in this book and a lot that we didn't get to, but it is an excellent book. It's Why School: Reclaiming Education for All of Us. Mike Rose, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks, Shannon, for having me on.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And maybe we'll do it again because, as I say, there's a lot to get to in here. But we do have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little different. We're going to talk some medical issues. So stay where you are, and we'll be back here in just a few on W.